Now, Democratic impeachment managers have finished making their case against President Trump on charges of inciting the riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. After spending yesterday walking through the timeline of events from that day, Democrats focused today on Trump's past remarks about political violence and his actions during and after January 6th. Here's a listen to Representative Ted Lieu of California speaking earlier today.
Now, President Trump would have his base and the world believe that his conduct was totally appropriate. It is important to impeach that falsehood, to make clear to his supporters and everyone watching that what Donald Trump did was not acceptable.
After today, former Trump's defense team will start to present their case. Trump's chances of being acquitted appear high. Earlier this week, only six Republican senators voted that even holding the impeachment trial from a former president was constitutional. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've been watching the trial in the Senate, what has stood out to you? Has what you've seen changed your feelings about what happened at the Capitol? Do you think President Trump should be convicted of inciting the attack? Or do you think that there's no direct connection, or that it is, as many Republican senators have argued, unconstitutional to impeach the president now that he's out of office? And what does it all mean for the future of our politics? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Maurice Shepard is an instructor of political science at Madison College. Maurice, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good. Well, what has stuck out to you about the case that the Democratic impeachment managers presented over the last couple of days?
Just focusing just on the presentation, they were very different in terms between the House managers and the president's defense. The House managers were focused. The president's defense team was unfocused. House managers provided details. That's something that the president's defense team lacked. And the House managers did a good job, I think, in terms of telling a story, storytelling, whereas the president's defense team, I think, was a little too informal, and that really hurt their ability to get their message through.
We'll hear more from that team tomorrow, and it looks like maybe just tomorrow. They have up to 16 hours. I've heard reporting that they're just going to take about half of that, so potentially only tomorrow. All that said, do you think that there are persuadable senators really on either side of this story at this point?
I think there are. I do not think that former President Trump will be convicted to get a conviction in the Senate impeachment trial. There needs to be two-thirds, a supermajority. I don't think that, and that would mean 17 Republican senators voting with the Democrats. I don't think that they will achieve that. But I think there are some Republican senators that are leaning in that direction for a number of reasons. One would be just in terms of, again, they may share some of the constitutional issues that the Democrats are bringing forward, the House managers, an issue of party legitimacy. Again, they know that their party, it's not just ex-former President Trump that's being looked at here. And also for some of those Republicans, a personal responsibility. They may feel as an elected official, it is their responsibility to look at the facts in the case.
I want to give a listen to one of the senators. So I think you were likely just talking about Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, reacting here to the presentation and the videos and timelines that she saw yesterday. Here's a listen.
I'm angry. I'm disturbed. I'm sad. As you say, we're reliving this. We lived it once, and that was awful. And we're now reliving it with a more comprehensive timeline.
And that's been something that's stuck out, I think, to a lot of people, including some Republican senators, Maurice, who might vote on either side. The traumatic events of January 6th, and with the timeline as presented by the House impeachment managers, the fact that there were places where senators, the vice president, members of Congress were within feet or minutes of running across these rioters who had just proven willing to attack police officers. Can you talk about the impact of just seeing these videos?
Sure. Yeah, the video that was introduced was striking. A number of points. One, it did for the House managers, they did try to make the link between former President Trump's language, his speeches, and the Capitol rioters. Second, the video that was introduced also highlighted how organized the Capitol rioters were, sort of pre-riot and also during the riot. It showed that there was some military training there, at least individuals in the crowd that were directing that had some military training. And also the depth and the intensity of the Capitol rioters. That was striking and unsettling. I think that also highlights what may be sort of in the longer scope of things, may highlight that this country, that the United States, we have an issue in terms of political socialization, that for many, it was caught on tape, unfiltered in many cases, of a deep lack of trust in the formal institutions of government.
Talking to Maurice Shepard, instructor of political science at Madison College, looking at the latest in the ongoing impeachment trial of former President Trump in the U.S. Senate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Before we go to our callers, Maurice, we heard from Senator Ted Cruz yesterday saying Democrats hadn't proved that Trump's comments meet the legal definition of incitement. Democratic House managers today following that up in some ways, making the case that impeachment is not a criminal trial. It is a political trial. And they're talking about holding the president, the former president, to his oath of office. Is there a different standard that you might see in a criminal trial for, say, incitement to violence versus an impeachment of a president on the same cause?
Yes. For Senator Cruz, he's absolutely right in terms of, once again, the impeachment process. It is a political process. It's not the same as a criminal or civil trial. A major difference here is that in the Senate impeachment trial, the senators sit as both judge and jury. You would not have that in the regular sort of judicial proceeding. The other key point here is the presiding officer. You don't have necessarily a judge sort of sitting there that can make, that has true authority in the Senate impeachment trial, the presiding officer. Usually when if a president is, or a vice president is undergoing, once again, impeachment, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court would be the presiding officer. Because Donald Trump is now an ex-president, we now have instead the president pro tem of the Senate, Senator Patrick Leahy. So that's very different. And in that position, Senator Leahy doesn't have a lot of power or authority. The only area that the literature highlights where the authority in the Senate impeachment trial has power will be in terms of questions about evidence. Anything beyond that, the presiding officer really has very little, if any, authority.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Judy is with us in Glidden. Judy, hi.
Hi there. I guess I would just like to make a comment, not only to our state senator, Tammy Baldwin, and Senator Ron Johnson, but to remind them they were elected to preserve our democracy. And everything that we have heard, if they do not vote to convict Trump, are they an American, and is this America? And that's all I have to say.
Judy, thanks a lot for the call. Judy, echoing what we've heard from some of the Democratic House impeachment managers there, saying this is what happened in the Capitol was un-American, saying that action is needed here to preserve democracy. Can you talk about that side of the argument from the House managers, Maurice?
Sure. For the House managers, their position is, and as you noted earlier, there was a vote and it was determined that that it is constitutional for an ex-president to undergo an impeachment trial in the Senate. So the constitutionality in that sense has been settled. But for the House managers, the issues that they're looking at will be one in terms of adherence to the Constitution. They believe that a high crime and misdemeanor has been committed in former President Trump's incitement of insurrection. They also would make the argument that, once again, he needs to be tried in the Senate impeachment trial for democratic accountability, that his actions upset the public good and threaten the formal institutions of government. In particular, one could argue overturning the results or trying to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election, and also, again, the incitement to insurrection that happened at the Capitol on January 6th.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Maurice Shepard from Madison College, political scientist there, and we're talking about the ongoing impeachment trial of former President Trump as Democrats concluded making their case today. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the U.S. Senate should vote to convict President Trump on the charge of inciting the attack on the U.S. Capitol? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Maurice Shepard, political science instructor at Madison College, looking at the latest in former President Trump's impeachment trial. We'll go back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Pat is with us in Green Bay. Pat, hello.
Good afternoon, folks. I guess my biggest thing is, wouldn't it be far better to former President Trump on trial in front of a judge and a jury? Because what is, even if they succeed in the impeachment trial, what is going to be his punishment? He needs to be punished. His punishment needs to fit the crimes for which he is committed.
Pat, thanks for the call. A couple separate threads there, Maurice. First of all, there is the thought that, okay, after you convict, you can also, and this is in the Constitution, you can also bar someone from running for future office. So that is at least one potential consequence if there are enough senators to convict. Do I have that right?
Yes. There's some issue in terms of, you know, that the additional punishment beyond, again, sort of losing the office, in terms of barring that person from holding federal office, it's holding federal office or holding any federal position of honor in that sort. There's some discussion about, you know, is that automatic? Some would say that it isn't. Some would argue that it is. There can also be additional punishments in terms of reducing or even removing some of the benefits that an ex-president may have. Again, former presidents, they receive a number of benefits in terms of security and other sort of, benefits of that sort. Pat makes a point in terms of, for former President Trump, some may feel that may not be punishment enough. A couple other things that could take place. One, and this happened with the Bill Clinton impeachment from 1999. Then President Bill Clinton was acquitted of, once again, a number of impeachment charges against him. But after there was an attempt to censure him in the Senate, that censure failed. All you need is a simple majority. It failed. Now, the same thing could happen for former President Trump, that even if he is acquitted on the single charge, the Senate could vote and a majority could vote to censure him. The other thing, as Pat mentioned, though, is in terms of civil action, former President Trump, citizen Donald Trump, faces a number of, once again, civil actions, not related to the events of January 6th, but there are other actions, civil actions that will be coming sort of his way from the state of New York and also more recently from Georgia, Fulton County, I believe, as it relates to, again, his attempt to force some change in terms of the election results from the 2020 presidential election.
I think Pat was suggesting maybe criminal charges related to January 6th, and it seems hard to bring criminal charges against a president for things they did while president. It's kind of a tall bar to clear at least. Is that right, Maurice?
Well, and that's one of the criticisms. That's a criticism that has been made of the House managers, that maybe the impeachment charge did not go far enough. That instead they've taken a more sort of a umbrella approach to it by using the incitement of insurrection to sort of capture all of that. And that may actually be a point that the president's defense team may bring up, that If that is the case, then that should have been one of the a separate impeachment charge, and it's not there.
Let's go back to our callers now. Andrea is with us in Wonder Lake, Illinois. Andrea, hi.
Hi. There seem to me to be two dangerous precedents in this trial. One is trying someone who is no longer in office. I know we've heard that argument. I feel it's valid. And the second one is a little more concerning, and that is the freedom of speech, First Amendment. We're a democracy. We live by those amendments. I think that we are putting both those things in jeopardy. That's it.
Andrea, thanks for the call. That second point, the president's attorneys have made that argument. You can't charge him for free speech. The House manager saying, well, hold on, free speech doesn't include incitement to violence. Can you talk about that that angle of the argument, Maurice?
Sure. And Andrea is correct that, again, the primary argument that's been made is that it's unconstitutional to try an ex-president. And then after that would come, as she as correctly pointed out, the protection of speech. There can be, once again, protection of freedom of speech, but also there can be protection of political speech on both of those issues. It's very unsettled. And this is where the House managers have tried to make sort of the difference here, that that as president of the United States, Donald Trump holds a unique position in society and also in our political system. And quite frankly, this is an ongoing issue. The literature and research on not just protection of, once again, freedom of speech, but particularly when you get into political speech, that gets very tricky. And I think what you will see from the president's defense team coming up very shortly is that they will use samples of Democrats in some of their speech that may be unpleasant, that may be challenging to some, and they will make, and the president's defense team will make the argument that sort of, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, that if these, once again, Democrats have made these also sort of inflammatory speeches, and we did not, once again, censure or try to impeach them, whatever the case may be, that the president should not be held to a different or a higher standard.
Thanks for that call. We're talking to Maurice Shepard from Madison College, political scientist there, looking at the latest in the impeachment proceedings. Back to your calls now. Ed is with us in Mount Morris. Ed, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I believe ex-President Trump should be impeached. And if I'm not mistaken, everyone in the Capitol has taken the same oath that he did. So if they do not convict him, are they not held to the same standard of not protecting the Constitution?
Ed, thanks a lot for the call. There's no consequence, I think, Maurice, for a senator voting for or against impeachment, as Ed is bringing up.
Well, and Ed makes a good point. Yes, there are no formal consequences,
right.
Let's put it that way.
Good clarification.
Now,
thank you.
Well, now there may be political consequences. Mm-hmm. And again, I go back to what we started with in this discussion, is that impeachment is a political process. That means that it's going to be ugly and it takes other things into consideration. Just in terms of politics, and this, again, this may be unpleasant, but for Democrats, but in particularly for Republicans, they are looking forward beyond this trial to the 2022 midterm elections and the 2024 presidential election cycle. And they have to begin to sort of position themselves individually and also as a party. What is the party? What is the Republican Party? What does it stand for? Where is it going? Are they the party of Lincoln or are they the party of Trump? So Ed is absolutely right about that. But again, politics, it is a political process and politics is part of the process.
Thanks for that call. In our last couple of minutes, Maurice, do you expect to see people try to clarify some of the questions about the presidency that President Trump tested, whatever you think of what he did? I mean, the Mueller report said, here's evidence related to obstruction of justice, but you can't really criminal charge. So we're going to leave that open. The president was expected to maybe issue a self-pardon, raising questions. Can a president do that? Do you think some of the things we've taken for granted as sort of custom or tradition might get hammered out in the law in the years to come?
My students are tired of hearing me say this, but the U.S. president over time, the office of the president did not start off again for the American founders. They did not envision a president as powerful as we have today. The presidency, the institution of the president, has grown in power over time. In some cases, because presidents have once again taken that power on, but also part of it is that the legislature has again granted some of the authority to the president in order to get things done. The presidency is the branch of the executive is the branch of government that actually executes, once again, the powers of government and that sort. I think it's something that American citizens have to think about and consider how much power, how much authority does a president actually have? And it may call for a constitutional amendment at some point. There are some that argue that we've enshrined the Constitution as this noble document that's beyond, updating. Some would argue that as Americans, what we probably need to do is go back and take a hard look at the Constitution and come to the realization that there may be some areas where some updating needs to take place. In this case, it would involve, again, the executive branch and the powers of the president.
Maurice, thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Maurice Shepard, instructor of political science at Madison College. He was with us today to talk about the latest in the U.S. Senate trial of former President Trump.